And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Normally I'm in the, for those who may be visiting today, I'm in the book of Luke, and we will continue in our exposition of Luke, Lord willing, next Sunday. But this is a different day this morning, and you'll hear a little bit more about that in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin in verse 12, and I'm going to take it down to verse 27. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you from this challenging passage and yet practical passage written down by the Apostle Paul. We thank you and praise you that you have put that in Scripture that we might be able to understand it and we might be able to apply it. And I pray this morning as we look at a very familiar passage that you'd help us to have open hearts, the Spirit of God might use it in each of our lives individually, so that we collectively might uplift the name of Christ and might be the local assembly that you would have us to be as we represent a portion of the body of Christ universally. So, Father, we commit our study of the Word of God, our time afterwards, and we commit it with thanksgiving, and in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you can probably tell from the reading that I did, my title this morning is Just As God Desired, coming from verse 18. Today, as you've heard a number of times already this morning, is what we're calling Ministry Fair Day. And you might ask, legitimately, what is this all about, especially if you happen to be visiting the church? What is this all about, this Ministry Fair Day? Well, let me say a couple of things. During the year, throughout the year, especially on the overheads as we present them, or through the computer really is what it is, we present a number of things. But also during the year, people come and go. People come and visit not just this church, but any local church. They come, they go. Some people come and they stay. And when they do stay, they're realistically not really sure, where do I fit in the church? Where should I be? What do I do? What can I do? If I can do anything, and how do I fit in? And yet I want to stay with the church. People often know little about the ministries that are going on in any local church. And like I said, we try to present to you as much information. We have a ministry of the month every month that we highlight, and we do that on a regular basis. But let's be realistic, we cannot cover every ministry, first of all. Secondly, even as a ministry is presented to you, it is very easy to forget what the ministry was about. Test in point, how many remember what January of last year, which ministry was presented? Not a single hand. How many can remember, this is October, what ministry was presented in August? Ah, that's because it's your ministry. Very good. And it's just a practical point. That's all I'm saying. We do make every effort to try to give that information to you, but let's be realistic. We don't even remember what Pastor Dan said last week and what my wife and children said yesterday. It's part of the reality of life. So, as we as a church, and we try to make an effort as leadership to really have this church what God would have it to be, we decided that either annually or biannually, and I say that because we've had it both ways, annually or biannually, we will spend one morning whereby the directors themselves will have an opportunity to explain to you what is going on in their ministries and what their needs are, what their ministry is all about. And it's easy to hear about the music, but what is that? And how can I be a part of it, or can I be a part of it? Are there any needs that are there? And that's the opportunity that is here. And it's to afford you personally and me the opportunity to see where we fit in, where we can fit into the local church that God has called us to, and really what is going on within the ministry. A lot of times we have no idea. We hear some announcements, but we really don't understand. Okay, there's some type of meal Friday night, and someone's preparing some type of lunch for us today, but what is that ministry all about? And we really don't know. And that includes even the school, which you will see. There's a display on the school. So today is that day. Today is that day in which we have a ministry fair day. And while you might have the question as to what that is, I have a bigger question for you today. What is the bigger picture? So what is the question that I have? What is Christianity all about? You say that you're a believer in Christ. Well, what is Christianity all about? This world is absolutely saturated with all kinds of opinions and all kinds of thoughts as to what Christianity is all about. And let me be practical. I am going to cover a lot of material. And yes, the service will be shorter. Normally, we'll be done at noontime. We're going to be done before that, obviously. And I am going to get you into the multipurpose room, and I'll explain that in a few moments. But I do want to, in this message, help you to really search your own heart, and all of us to do that. What is Christianity all about? Is it all about you just getting a ticket to heaven? A lot of people look that way. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my ticket to heaven, gets me out of hell, and that's all they're interested in. Is that really Christianity? Is it about attending religious services on Sunday? Sunday, when I grew up as a young child, Sunday, everybody went to church. So, hey, now everybody watches football games or whatever else is going on. But, you know, the idea is sports, you know, whatever the activities, getting together as a family. Sunday was this day. I guess you do some type of religious activity. You go to church. Is that what it's really all about, Christianity? Is it about being a part of an organization whereby the organization just has a structure and, you know, okay, there's offices that are there and there's this ministry that's going on and it's all about some type of organization? Is it about developing programs? Is that what this is all about today? Programs and keeping you happy? Because a lot of people, that's even the way they'll search for a church. It's the concept of, let's see what's going on in the teen ministry. Let's see what's going on in the youth ministry. Let's see what the music ministry's like. Let's see what the men's ministry's like. Let's see what the women's ministry's like. And depending upon that, if it satisfies, meets my needs, that's where I'm going to go. That's what Christianity is all about, right? I don't think so, by the way. And maybe it's so that you and I can get what we want. Christianity is about, well, I've got a ticket to heaven, and now the rest of my life here on earth is a ministry of trying to figure out getting what I want. So I do the things that I want to do that satisfy me and meet my needs. Or it's a part-time job. What do you mean by that? Sunday-only duty. I just go to Sunday, I come in a morning service, I get out, and then catch you later next week. That's what Christianity is all about. And by the way, if some of these things that I've said this morning already, you don't think is the reality of the way people who say they are Christians are living, you're kidding yourself. Because that is Christianity to a lot of people. But I want to tell you right now, none of that is a reality, including a ticket to heaven. That's not the way it works. While you trusting in Christ will be saved. What is it all about? It's about the work of God. It's about God's love for us. It's about God's concern for us and what God is doing and what he has done. It is about being part of an organism, not an organization. It's about what God has done to make us a part of an organism. It's about a life that is no longer our own because you have been bought with a price. Because someone has gone out of his love and sent his son, he's done a work, and it's possible for our sins to be forgiven. It's about obeying and following our Savior. This is truly what Christianity is about. This is why, and I'm going to get to it in Luke, you need to count the cost when you're talking about being a Christian. It's about ministering to the needs of the organism. That's what it's about, meeting the needs of the organism. It's about glorifying God in my life with the remainder of time that he's given me on earth. It's about being a living epistle or a living example of what the gospel is so that the world would understand it. Those are just some of the things that really Christianity is about, not about any of that other stuff that I said earlier. And the passage before us this morning, which I will not exegete to the extent that I could, but hopefully give you enough today, this passage helps us to understand Christianity and to understand why Fellowship Bible Church is having the day that it is today. It isn't just to get you home early. So, we want to take a look at it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27 today. I want you to notice a couple of things, and I will highlight. But first of all, it's a comparison, verse 12, obviously. It's a comparison. Belonging to Christ, being a Christian, is likened to being part of a body. It's very clear. For even as the body, physical body, is one. I am standing before you. You are sitting there in the pew, standing in the back. The kids are in the room, some of the younger children. And they have a single body. And yet, we find out from verse 12, and we'll expand on that, there's many members, and all the members of that body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. I have a physical body with a lot of parts to it. And what is the point? The point in that comparison is Christianity, belonging to Christ, is the same thing. There is only one body, but it has a lot of members. It has a lot of parts to it, okay? We can understand that, and God uses that because we understand that's our physical body. And what's it about? It's about the work of God, verse 13. The work of God. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. What is the point? Very simply put, it isn't about us joining an organization. It isn't about us wanting anything or doing anything. It is about God doing a work whereby he says he's placed us in. He uses the word baptized. He has immersed us into, he has placed us into his body. How does he do that? By the Spirit, according to verse 13. It is not us. The Spirit of God, who according to other texts is the down payment that God's given us of the evidence that we belong to him. In fact, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not one of his. So that Spirit of God enters into us. Why? How did he do this? Why did he do it? It is based upon the work of Jesus Christ, who God so loved that he sent into the world. Jesus Christ became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is what the scriptures clearly teach us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So the work of Christ is that he died on the cross, was the mercy seat, the propitiation, satisfying the righteousness of God, the demands of the law, perfectly fulfilling them, and he suffered death, but he died and then was buried and rose again, all according to the scriptures. He is a living Savior, and he satisfied the justice of God. And through that, God has done a work in hearts of dead people, truly the walking dead, and has enabled them to see, perceive, and understand the gospel, opened their hearts so that by faith, in trusting in that work, we have trusted in Christ in what we now call being a Christian. And God has done all the work through Christ, and then he places us into the body. He put us there. So it's used the body to help us to understand the practicality of how Christianity works. But he wants us to understand that we have been baptized into the body. It doesn't matter if you have a Jewish background or a Gentile background, in order to cover people universally, by the way. God did the work, and he places everyone who's a Christian into the body. What is it about further? Verses 14 to 17, you can look at them, and 19 to 24, listen to this. It is about, and I want you to catch this, interdependency. It is about interdependency, not independency. Want to repeat that? It is all about interdependency, not about independency. And I say that because there's some professing Christians that are so independent that, in my opinion, if they're going to be consistent, they should be independent from themselves, because they can't even satisfy everything they're demanding of everybody else. That's the truth. Because if they looked in the mirror, they'd find out there's things in their life that aren't what they should be. That's not what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is about, as he illustrates the physical body, it's about interdependency. If you look at 14 to 17, just the highlights, one part cannot say to the other, I don't need you. I can't say to my arm, I don't need, could I say to my body right now, as I stand in front of you, I don't need my tongue, and I'll just give this message. Really? Though it's small, I need it. Can I say I don't need my brain? Pastor Dan has a brain? Yeah, I do. Can I say that I can do without that? Can I say that I can do without my feet, without my knees, without my fingers? No, I can't. Why? I am interdependent. We need them all. That is also true with the body of Christ. And in verses 19, now I left out 18, I'll get to that. In verses 19 to 24, you look again. So we are all, what? One member, no, one body, but there's many members, and the eye can't say, I don't need the hand. And on it goes with it, making it pretty easy to understand. And that idea of the less honorable parts, that's what we do. We put all kinds of makeup and we decorate and we do all these things. You need your feet to walk around. You make sure that you're clean, got everything covered up and everything's going on. That's the way we work. And we understand that in our body. What is the point? The point is interdependency. Our body cannot function with my hand sitting here and my foot over here and the rest of me standing here and everything's going to work fine. It won't happen. I understand that. Neither can the body of Christ function that way. What is it all about? It's all about, very important to catch this one, verse 18. What is that? Very important to understand that it's all about God's choice, not yours or mine. What is that? By now, God has placed the members. Who has placed? God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. You are not any place in the body of Christ that you're not supposed to be. Just like with my body, my fingers are right where they should be. My tongue is right where it should be. My eyes are right where they should be. In the body of Christ, you have been placed there by God as he desired. It was not your choice. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the nursery worker. I want to be the one working in the kitchen. The Lord has gifted you and placed you right where you need to be. And in case we don't catch that, look at verse 11 of the same text. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Just as he wills. That should be encouraging to you. You see, I fit in right where God wants me to fit in. He's doing all the work, and he's done it. And so he compares it to the body. We are interdependent. We are not just one member, we're one body, but with many members. And God has placed these many members in the body just as he wanted it. Just, you are right where you should be in the body. However, that doesn't mean, though my fingers are right where they should be, that my fingers are cooperating. That doesn't mean, though the eyes are right where they should be, that the eyes are functioning the way they should, or being contributing to the body in the right way. So I'm using this to look at the right things that will nourish the rest of the body. Or that my tongue is being used in a right way to benefit the entire body. It may be used harmfully. This may be used harmfully. I could turn around and hit myself in the head. That doesn't help my body. It's in the right place, but it's not functioning right. So why is that important? That's verses 25 to 27. Let's quickly highlight those. Take a look at them. And what have you got there? You've got so that there be no divisions. The body of Christ is designed by Christ so that there is, give you three things quickly, unity, care, and God's glory. God has designed the body and all the members and placed them in so that there would be unity in the body and it would work together, so that there'd be caring of the body like we care for our body. We care for, I mentioned my fingers, my hands, we care for them all the time, and that we bring glory to God. Look at what it says. The unity, that there be no division. God has designed the body of Christ so there'd be no division in the body, so that my fingers aren't working against my brain, so that my eyes aren't working against my feet, so that my elbows aren't working against the body. Every area we can get into. So that the body system, even that you can't see, such as the circulatory system that's going on, such as the bone structure that's covered with all the flesh and everything else. It is all designed by God so that it'd be working together and in unity. That's why in the physical body there is pain that comes along when it's not working right. Guess what we find out? What we find out here is when the body's not working right, there are sufferings that goes on. And the whole body suffers for it. If my fingers aren't working, my body suffers. Haven't we all had that experience? How many honestly have had that one? That one should be unanimous. Don't just put up your hands because of that. Where something's happened and it just happens, a little thing in your finger. It's a cut with a paper cut. A paper cut, it's no big deal. My finger! And then you go, and every time you go to do something, that finger gets on again and again and again, and it just gets in the way. The whole body's affected. My brain, I feel it. The same is true with the body of Christ. That's not how God's designed. We ought to have the same care. Look at that very quickly. He says that as he goes on. He says, no division, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Let me ask you honestly, are you caring for the body the way you should? Not your physical body, but how are you and I caring for the rest of the body? And what's the idea? That God would get all the glory. And by the way, let me just say this. I'll just refer to it. In Ephesians 4:3, it says that we don't cause the unity. God did by putting the body together. But we are to be diligent to maintain the unity of the body. Do you know it's my responsibility and your responsibility out there to make sure that you're maintaining unity here? If you're causing division, you are a cause of a major problem in God's eyes. And so true with me. So what's the point? The point is not where I am if I'm a Christian. The point is God knew what he was doing. It's not about me. It's about caring for the body. It's not about I. It's about others. Those very verses on the side of the church as you walk in here every single Sunday. And it isn't about my coffee. It isn't about my ministry. It isn't about my program. It isn't about what's good for me. It's about me caring for the rest of the body. And most Christians don't have that view. We need to be functioning. And if we're not functioning properly, guess what? The whole body is hurting. And that's what the idea is for everybody. So what's the point? What's this idea of Ministry Fair Day? I only have a couple minutes left. Here it is. Where do you fit in? You say, ask yourself that question, Pastor Dan. I do all the time. Where do you fit in? You say, I don't know, I've been coming to the church for years and I'm not doing anything. You are a problem. You are hurting the body. Because God himself, if you are a true Christian, put you into the body. And by putting you into the body, he put you in the right place. And if you're not functioning in the body, your whole body, which means all of us, are hurting because of you. Now, we need to care for you. But you need to care for us. And you need to be there. How are you contributing to the welfare of the body of Christ? You need to ask that. First of all, I'll conclude with this. If you're not saved, you're not part of the body. You're not part of the body at all. You need to be born again. You need to come to Christ. And that's probably why. You just don't see how you fit in because you don't belong to Christ. Because it's not until you trust in Christ that Christ baptizes you and places you into the body of Christ. So you need to come to Jesus Christ. But how about those of you who have? We need you. You need us. Meaning what? This is only a local church, but it's so true in a local church as it is universally. The body of Christ is designed to function in such a way that whatever God has gifted you with and wherever he has placed you, in order for the whole body to function properly, you need to be involved. If you are a Sunday-only Christian, if you are a person that's just coming to Fellowship Bible Church to see what you can get when you can get it, you are hurting this local assembly. Because God has placed you here and you're not functioning the way you should. What's the purpose? We need you. Go with me to Ephesians 4. I'll close with this last verse. I read it already. You know, it's very practical. God's gifted, given gifts to the church. Why? Verse 12 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. For the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry, a service. God's gifted people to be able to teach. Why? So they can teach so that you'll understand how to carry on the work, which is what? The building up of the body. You understand that, right? Our whole world today is involved in going to clubs in order to get exercise and build up strength and help my body. Well, what are you doing to build up the body of Christ? We're all to be involved in the work of service. Why? So there'd be unity. so that we'd be mature, verse 13. So that we'd be reflecting the fullness of Christ. So that we won't be tossed to and fro, even by doctrine, or the trickery of men, or the confusion. Remember those of you that were here for the message, when we talked about the light shining? We're not to even cover up the word of God with our traditions. So many have done that. They've added to the word of God that they would say they would never do it by the traditions of men, and there's people that aren't growing or functioning in the body the way they should. And I'll close with verse 16. It's to be fitted together by which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Isn't it interesting? You could take a clock, the intricacy of the clock, and open it up. I happen to see a story on a clockmaker this week, happened to be from this area. And you just take one little part out of that, and all of a sudden the clock doesn't work. It's not working right. What's the matter? The spring is out of it. The little gear got out of the way. This little hook in there isn't functioning right. It's the same with the body of Christ. Same with the body of Christ. So what's the point of the ministry fair day? If you're a member of the body of Christ, I don't know where Christ has placed you in the body. You're coming to this local church, we're grateful, we're thankful. Where do I fit in? Well, in about 2 seconds, you're going to be dismissed to go find out. Because in the auditorium, as Pastor Chris said on the right-hand side, are the ministries that we have. Go see what's going on. Go talk to the directors. See where you fit in. Because you do. And if you're not functioning, and you go out of here and you're mad at me for Pastor Dan saying that I'm causing hurt to the body, I'm glad you're mad. Because you are. If you're truly a member of Christ, and that's all you do is come in and sit down, and then dismiss yourself, and wait for something else that you can benefit from, I'm telling you, we're hurting. We need you. But you need us, and you're hurting, and you don't know it. So, fellow members of the body of Christ, go in and enjoy the fair day. And if you're not serving, ask God. Go in there, as Pastor Chris said, with a spirit of prayer. Lord, where have you put me? How can I be involved so that this church will stand for the glory of God and will not be one that's functioning dysfunctionally, but the way the body was designed to function, with every part contributing. Let's close in prayer. We'll dismiss you. There will be food in there. And even if you got other things in your schedule, hey, it's right on time. The latest was 11:30. I've actually got another minute. I'm not going to take it. But get in there and enjoy your time, and then you're still going to be home early today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the word of God. I thank you that you've given us the body of Christ as a way to understand how the body's to function. I thank you, Father, that you've placed us in the body as you see fit. You've gifted us as you see right. And you have told us that we are to care for one another. We are to be diligent for the unity of the body and to bring glory to the God who has saved us. And I pray, Father, in a very practical way, you'd help each one of us as we go in there now to be able to understand better how you'd have us serve one another to bring glory to your name. We pray these things and ask the blessing on the food that you provide as well. In Jesus' name, amen.